Hi, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. This is an hour of mind power where we are able to bring to you so many wonderful people and so many wonderful points of information. Now, I'd like for you, before we get started with our guest today, I'd like for you to make a note of the toll-free number to call into, should you so desire, at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And those telephone lines will be open to you later on in the program. If you're as much a pet lover as I am, you are going to find that there is so much that we have to be aware of with our pets. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about holistic animal care lifestyle. My guest this morning is Lisa S. Newman. She's a PhD and a naturopath, but she has a wonderful, wonderful book, which we're going to have one to give away this morning, and that's called Three Simple Steps to Healthy Pets. Lisa, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Donna. Glad to be here.
Well, it's always very close to my heart, anything that has to do with animals. I'm always interested in wellness for people, but with animals, it seems like it's taken so long for us to get to the point of understanding there's so much like us, there's so many things that can affect us. Now, you have been, Dr. Newman, very, very dedicated to preventing and reversing disease and behavioral problems with animals, and you have a foundation curriculum that you developed at the Holistic Animal Care School of Japan. And you write for a number of publications. Wow, I mean, you have had such an interesting background.
Thank you.
Where was it that you were, how do I want us to phrase this? When was it that you felt that you needed to take a different approach with animals? I mean, this is a lifelong commitment for you. When was the turning point for you when you said, I've got to do something differently?
Well, Two different things happened. First of all, when I was working with humans, I had a lot of humans who were coming to me and saying, boy, you really helped me with my allergies. You really helped me with my kidney problems. I happen to have a dog that's also having these same problems because, ironically, a lot of our animals reflect the same diseases that we have ourselves or the same problems that we have ourselves. And so I started to take a look at the fact that, you know, animals really responded to their environment very much the same as humans did. And it made sense to me that the holistic protocols I was using for humans could be applied to animals. And so I started to study how that could be. The second thing that happened to me was I had a 9-month-old Rottweiler puppy who had had all her shots. She was on a vet-recommended diet. She had, you know, been given all of the vet appointments necessary and so on and so forth. And at 9 months old, she got parvo and died.
Oh, dear.
And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't understand how I was doing everything the vet told me to do, including giving her all her vaccinations. And her vaccinations were given at the exact date of age that they were supposed to be given. Mm-hmm. So there was no, you know, fudging here, fudging there. And still she got parvo and died. And when I started to take a look at what I was feeding her, I was shocked to find ingredients like ethoxyquin in her food, which is a rubber stabilizer and a lethal herbicide. Exactly. And when I started to think about the things that I was feeding my dog and how this had weakened her intestinal tract, and that's exactly where the parvovirus goes to attack, is in the intestinal tract, it made sense to me that I, in fact, had killed my dog. I had given her ingredients in her diet. I had over-vaccinated her that I'd come to understand later because there's a lot of controversy today in terms of how much vaccinations should we give and how frequently should we give them and how much can the body be actually weakened through vaccination. And so when I put all these things together, I realized that I was the one that had caused the premature death of my dog. And that was it for me. I said, you know, I really need to make a change in the lifestyle approach that I have for my animals, and I really need to start studying all of these different ingredients that are in pet foods and how they affect the body, all the different vaccine schedules and how they affect the body, and also the fact that we do tend to overuse medication in animals. And so instead of allowing the body the tools to heal itself with, we actually give the body ingredients and chemicals that are detrimental to the body's own ability to heal itself. And this prematurely ages the animal and creates a lack of defensiveness on the animal's part.
Now, I know this book, and for those of you who are just tuning into the show, Lisa S. Newman is my guest. Her wonderful book is Three Simple Steps to Healthy Pets. It's the Holistic Animal Care Lifestyle. We do have one free book to give away today, so if you wanted to call in to our toll-free number, 877-876-5227, then we'll be glad to take your information and then be sure that you get a copy of the book. Now, one of the things that you say in your book is that you have many years about, since 1986, you've got over 20 years.
Yeah, actually 1982.
82.
We're going to be celebrating our 25th anniversary soon.
Wow. But you have clinical studies that have been done on your holistic approach. Tell us how you developed those and what it is that you have been investigating with these clinical studies.
Well, one of the things that we investigate is how different protocols affect the body in terms of prevention as well as reversal of disease. We have done several different clinical studies. Our most well-known study is on FUS in cats. It's a huge problem today. Cats have a lot of kidney and bladder problems, and mostly these are due to their environmental issues. Again, the different ingredients that are in their foods and also the amount of chemicals that are put into their bodies through medications and things of that nature. And what we did was we came up with a protocol to actually help reverse the weakness in the kidney. And so what we do is we gathered approximately 20 different cats who had been diagnosed with FUS, which is feline urological syndrome. And this is a chronic condition where they build up crystals in the bladder, and this causes irritation in the bladder, which can cause bleeding in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did was we put these different animals on the different protocols to see which ones responded the best to which protocols. And we came to find out that the protocols, especially around my kidney products, I have three different kidney products. One's called Kidney Flow, which is to help create urine, break down crystals, and help clean out the bladder and the kidneys. We have another product called Kidney Care, which is for incontinence. And then another product called Kidney Biotic, which is for the actual infection of the kidneys and the bladder. And so we used these different protocols on these different cats to see how quickly they responded. And most of the animals respond within 6 weeks given the specific protocols.
Amazing. Now, I say it's amazing, but it shouldn't be amazing. Let's go into a little bit of information regarding dogs. And this is very meaningful to me because my husband and I have had Scotties. And we have had a real big wake-up call. We have had, you know, these wonderful pets that we loved very dearly, and we realized something that we had contributed. You talked to about, you know, what had happened with your dog. With our dogs, we realized that exposure to pesticides had created illnesses that they otherwise may not have had. We can't confirm it absolutely. And I want to go into talking about dogs a little bit. Each breed, according to your information in your book, has its genetic codes for look, size, and color. And there's also the genetic patterning for health and well-being. But this has become a real big issue, hasn't it? This is something that's creating, there's a lot of problems out there for various breeds. Let's address that for a moment here.
Well, a lot of breeds have genetic markers which make them prone to different types of problems. For instance, German Shepherds and hip dysplasia is one of the most commonly known ones. What we have found is even if you have a puppy who is born of two parents that have hip dysplasia and have the genetic markers within itself to have this hip dysplasia, it doesn't necessarily have to develop the hip dysplasia. There are things that can be done from birth to stabilize and strengthen the body so that the body never goes into that dysplastic state.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in Germany, back in the 70s, they did a lot of studies with vitamin C, and they found that vitamin C really helps to stabilize the ligaments around the hip, which helps to stabilize the femur in the hip joint. And when the femur is stabilized in the hip joint, it's not knocking around, which is part of the problem with hip dysplasia, is the head of the femur knocks around in the socket and causes calcification in the socket, which then starts causing pain and lameness. And so by simply adding vitamin C to the diet of a puppy, and I usually start my puppies at 3 days of age, they start getting a liquid vitamin C supplement. By giving them that vitamin C supplement, as well as a host of other nutrients, but vitamin C in particular, it helps to stabilize the ligaments so that the hips never start knocking around, if you will, and the body never develops that dysplastic state.
Well, that's incredible, because I've known people that have had German Shepherds, and they have invariably developed this condition, and it's heartbreaking. So something just as simple, just like vitamin C prevented scurvy with sailors.
Exactly.
I mean, you give it to dogs. And this is something that a vet told me years ago when one of our Scotties was ill. And Scotties, has, like some other terriers, have a predisposition, dependent on their genetic codes, to liver problems. And I know that he mentioned that he does so much research that enables him to compare human research, because it's so compatible often with dogs, and various animals benefit from a lot of the research that's been developed. But I'd never heard anybody say, you know, give your dog vitamin C.
Well, you know, one of the problems is dogs manufacture their own vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of veterinarians believe that dogs do not need supplementation of vitamin C. But the average dog develops 60 milligrams of vitamin C a day within itself.
Mm-hmm.
60 milligrams of vitamin C is a drop in the bucket. When I'm working with vitamin C, I'm working with 1,000 to 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And so even though the dog may be developing some vitamin C on its own, it's not enough vitamin C to have a therapeutic response. I liken it to watering a tree. You can tell me that you water a tree every day, but you don't understand why the tree is dying, even though you're watering it every day. I come to find out you're only giving it a tablespoon of water every day. And so a tablespoon of water every day is not going to be enough to sustain that tree. But what people think of, and this is where people get themselves in trouble when they go out looking for supplementations for their pets, is they'll find a supplement that has, you know, vitamin A, B, C, E, A, selenium, magnesium, calcium. They'll have these ingredients on the label. But when you actually look at the amount that's in the product, it's in minute doses, which are not effective enough for the body to respond to. And so it's very important that not only when you are supplementing, that you're supplementing with the right minerals and vitamins, but as well you're supplementing with the right amounts of these ingredients. And that's why I started to develop my own line of products. After being a consultant for 15 years, I got very frustrated at the fact that a lot of people, I would send them off with a protocol, and I would say, these are the vitamins and minerals and herbs that you need to give your animal for this specific problem. And then I would follow up with them, and I would come to find out that the animal was not responding. And so how do you know whether or not the animal is not responding to the nutrients, or the nutrients are not helping the animal to respond, if you don't really understand what's in the product? And so I started to study the different products that people were purchasing, and I came to find out that, A, they were very much lacking in a good balance of nutrients, and, B, the nutrients that were in the product were in minute quantities, not enough to actually make a difference. And so that's where I developed the Esmera line, because I wanted to have highly concentrated nutrients so that they were easy to feed. Because another problem people have with giving supplements to pets is that oftentimes they'll have to feed a tablespoon or two of powder, especially in the pet products. They'll have to feed a tablespoon or two of powder into the food, and it turns the animal off of their food. And so if you can't even get the animal to eat it, it's not going to do any good. And so I developed highly concentrated nutrients so that it's literally like a quarter of a capsule for a small dog to a half of a capsule for a medium-sized dog. And so this is very easy to open up and to mix into the food to where it's hidden in the food, the animal doesn't even know it has it. And it's the same with herbs. People will go out and they'll buy herbs to give to a pet, and they'll buy a dry herb, for instance. The dry herb has very little of the therapeutic properties in it, and you have to feed 2, 3, 4, 5 capsules of that dry herb per dose for that animal to even have any kind of a response. Most animals are not going to eat that much herb, and second, if they do eat that much herb, it causes digestive upset for them. What I've created are standardized extracts. By standardized extracts, we have a highly concentrated extract which only takes a drop per 5 pounds of body weight, so it's very easy to hide in the food. And by being standardized, we know we should get the same response each and every time. So if we're not getting that response, then we know that the animal is failing to respond to the herb, not that the herb is failing to help the animal. And this gives us more information about where we need to go with that animal next.
You bring up a point that I think is a very good one, and that is giving amounts according to body weight. Just like with people, when you are looking also at the age of the animal, an older animal might need a different dosage than a puppy would. Or if, you know, you've got a Rottweiler, that animal is so much bigger than a Chihuahua. You want to be able to do what's right for the body weight of that animal. And for those of you who are just tuning in to the show, we're talking with Dr. Lisa S. Newman. Her wonderful book, 3 Simple Steps to Healthy Pets, The Holistic Animal Care Lifestyle. And, of course, you can tell she has a real passion for this. She deals with this every day. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary, and I'm so pleased she's able to be with us. Now, we have one book to give away today. 877-876-5227 is the number to call into, and if you'll give your information, your contact information to my engineer, then we will be able to get that material to you. 877-876-5227. Let's talk about how important it is with food. Now, nutrition, I was just visiting a friend in the last 2 weeks that had had cats. The cats were being fed dry food. They found out that the food was really affecting the animal in a negative way. They had to shift to another type of a food product that was canned because of its moisture content. And the animal was having problems with its hair, and I know of another case, a woman that had 3 beautiful Persian cats. And she had been feeding this cat dried food that had come in from China. She was feeding a snack, and the cats just loved the snack. They were losing their hair. They were sick. And she started feeding them cooked food that she had prepared. Now, here are 2 different situations where the animals were responding in such a way that they were having digestive problems, just like you mentioned, could be the effect from herbs being given directly. They were losing, in fact, the one lady that had the 3 cats, the cats lost all of their hair. What's going on here? Why is it that this can occur with animals?
Well, it's the ingredients that they put into the food. Now, let's be clear. Dry food in and of itself is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ingredients that they use to make the food, because the pet food industry is built on the remnants of the human manufacturing industry. So everything that's not fit for human ingestion is what usually goes into most pet foods, because it's inexpensive and it's easy to get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's recycled. And so the manufacturers who are making human foods want to have a place to get rid of all their byproducts. For instance, rice byproduct, you know, when they polish off rice and they have all the rice polishings that they sweep up off the floor, why not sell that to a pet food company and make a little extra money? And this is what they do. And so a lot of times when you see rice on the bag, it can be a lot of different ingredients instead of the whole grain rice. It can be all bits and pieces of the rice. And this is very hard to digest and assimilate and does not have the nutritional value of the rice itself. And so this is what ends up happening, especially in the dry foods. They will oftentimes have a lot of these ingredients that are not fit for human consumption and, in my opinion, are not fit for animal consumption as well. So when people purchase foods, it's very important that they take a look at the bag and they, first of all, see that meat is the first ingredient, that chicken, lamb, beef, turkey, that this is the first ingredient on the bag, because for cats and dogs, they are carnivores. Meat should be the majority of the diet that they're eating. And unfortunately, in a lot of dry foods, grains are the majority of the ingredients in the dry food. And not only grains, but grain parts. And so it's very important when people are looking at a bag of food that they see that meat is the first ingredient. And even better off, a meat such as chicken that also has the word meal. Now, this is different from byproduct meal, which is a bad thing. But when you're finding something that says chicken meal or beef meal, this is a really good thing because it takes 3 pounds of whole chicken meat, for instance, to make 1 pound of meal. So you're concentrating that protein. And when you're putting the ingredient first on the label, that's the majority of the weight that's in the product. And so a lot of pet food companies try to pull one over on the consumer, if you will. They will use a meat as the first ingredient, such as chicken, but then there's 3 or 4 grains after that. And what you're actually getting is more protein from the grains rather than the chicken itself, because that chicken is listed first on the label only from the water weight that's in that meat, because that chicken was not dehydrated down into a meal. There's a lot of these different things that the manufacturers try to hide within their labels to put one over on the consumer, and the consumer spending a lot of money for marketing and not a lot of money for good ingredients.
I know when people are looking at foods for their animals, there are many individuals, such as myself, who felt that they enabled their animals to live longer than normal because they fixed their food. And there are so many people that want to prepare the food for their pets. How would they go about determining what is right for their animal?
Well, animals, most dogs and cats can eat pretty much anything that we can eat. There are certain ingredients like onions that can be deadly to dogs and cats that you don't want to cook with. But for the most part, steaming or slightly sautéing a little bit of meat and adding a little bit of grain to that diet, like barley or millet, and then fresh vegetables like carrots and parsnips and beets are wonderful ingredients to add into the diet. And it's very easy to cook for your animal. There are a lot of really good cookbooks on the market today. I have some recipes in my book, and there are other books that were made specifically just as cookbooks for animals that have a lot of good recipes. There's also another fad on the horizon here called raw food diets, the BARF system, which is bones and raw foods. And this is not
BARF.
Good.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
This is not good. A lot of people have been kind of going down this route because they think, you know, animals should be treated like they are in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, our animals have been domesticated for thousands of years. And when an animal is domesticated, its digestive tract evolves to fit its environment. And so we've been feeding animals cooked meats for thousands of years. You know, first it started out by the fireside. When we were getting our cooked meats, our animals were getting the scraps of those meats.
Mm-hmm.
Their digestive tracts no longer can handle the raw foods. Plus, there's the issue of salmonella poisoning, E. coli, and things of that nature. And so I highly recommend that people slightly saute or steam or bake the meats for their animals first. What I make for my own dog, my dog gets dry food down all day long to munch on. He gets a half of a cup, which is his daily intake. It gets put down in the morning so that he can munch on it during the day as he wants to. In the morning, he gets a stew made of beef and chicken with some fresh vegetables in it. We make up a batch every Sunday, and we freeze it, and a little bit comes out of the freezer every other day. And he gets this in the morning. He gets about a half of a cup of this in the morning. And then in the evening, he gets a can of the Asmira canned food. And this is what he eats, is a combination of both the dry, the canned, and the cooked. And I feel that that's a really good way to go, because if you only cook for your animal and your animal gets used to that home cooking, if you have to go away on vacation or your animal, God forbid, has to be put into a clinic overnight, they're not going to be used to eating the commercial food. And so it's going to be very hard for them. But if they get like 60% home cooked, 40% commercial food, then if you have to do 100% of the commercial food, it's not going to be such a hard switch for the dog or cat at the end of the day.
That's a very good point. And that gives an answer to a question I had had about my own dogs relative to having to put them in a kennel. And that was something I didn't do, but very, very rarely. And they wouldn't eat. They just would not eat. And even though I had, you know, prepared certain foods, it was really a challenge because that was something that was foreign to them. So that's a very good suggestion. That's a very good idea. Now, my guest this morning is Lisa S. Newman. Her wonderful book is Three Simple Steps to Healthy Pets, The Holistic Animal Care Lifestyle. And as I said, we have one book we're going to be able to give away this morning. 877-876-5227 is the number to call into. Now, Lisa, your book is just loaded with information. I mean, we could talk for hours regarding the wonderful details you've given in your book. Where can people go to find out more about your products, your services, your information? What's your website?
Well, our website is azmira.com. That's A-Z-M-I-R-A. And we also have a toll-free number that they can call for free information. It's 1-800-497-5665. Again, that's 1-800-497-5665. And we'll be glad to send out a free packet of information. I'm very big on education. I believe the more that you know and understand, the healthier your pets are going to be. And so we're a company that has a lot of information to give for people that are willing to read it. We also have some toll-free, not toll-free, but we do have some direct numbers to call, and they can talk to a trained staff member. This is not a vet service, and we're not there to diagnose or to treat. We're there specifically to educate. If they want to contact 520-886-1727, again, that's 520-886-1727. They can actually talk to a trained staff member about their specific animal's needs and get educated in terms of the right kind of protocols and supplements to use for that specific animal's condition.
And again, you're of the mindset you want to educate people. You want to bring forth as much information as possible so that they can, as a consumer, since pets are family, they are very, very important to us, and you cover, again, so many different aspects of pets' care, and the cats, the dogs, we have, you know, lizards, people have lizards, they have snakes, we've got all kinds of critters that we want to have in our lives as pets, but we've got to be more aware because we do live in a world that has changed quite a bit over the years. And I think you do a wonderful job, Lisa, in giving that information out. Three Simple Steps to Healthy Pets. My guest again has been Lisa S. Newman. Her website is azmira.com. That's A like Adam, Z like Zebra, M like Mary, I-R-A.com. Lisa, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna, for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. And again, that free book, if we have not already given it away, to 877-876-5227 if you would like your free copy. Donna Sebo here. Don't forget, Three Simple Steps to Healthy Pets. Lisa S. Newman has been my guest. Get the book. It's important. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And again, we've got a free book to give away on the three simple steps to healthy pets. Believe me, this book is awesome, The Holistic Animal Care Lifestyle by Lisa S. Newman. So that is available. Give us a call at 877-876-5227 if you'd like to receive your free copy. Also, then, if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, you can call that same number, 877-876-5227. Now, I want to let you know who's going to be coming on as a guest. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about colorectal cancer. We're going to have Dr. Dorado Brooks, and we're going to be giving some real good information. This is something that's becoming more and more of interest to people because, one, people are living so much longer, but, two, diet has such a tremendous impact on our wellness. So there are things that they have developed that are enabling people to bypass this, to not end up with such a negative condition. So we're going to be talking to Dr. Books tomorrow. Then we're going to be talking on Friday with Gil Asakawa. And he is a Japanese-American. He's written a wonderful book about being a Japanese-American. So we're going to be chatting with him. And then, of course, next week we're going to be talking with Jerry Winstrom. We're going to be talking about the Inspired Heart. We're going to be talking with Bobby DePorter about quantum success. Then Dr. Robert Viv, we're going to be talking about healthy medicine for people and real insightful information. And then Carol Montana in Australia, we'll be talking with her. We're going to be talking about another place, another time. Chief Crazy Horse is going to be the person we're going to be discussing. He's a big name in history. And then Bill Borchert is going to be my guest next week. We're going to be talking about the wife of Bill Wilson, who was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. His story about his wife is awesome. Her name is Lois. It's the Lois Wilson story. So we have a wonderful lineup of people that I know that you'll find interesting. And again, I'm always interested in your comments. Don't hesitate to send me an email if you have a question about an upcoming guest or anything that you've heard on the show. Send me an email. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's my email address. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. If you'd like to subscribe to my email newsletter, I'd be delighted to add you to that mailing list. You can do the same thing. So I'm always interested in hearing from you. Now, I've got something here from Jessica, and she has what I call some positivisms. Positivisms, and I thought some of them were really cute. She said, living on Earth is expensive, but it does include a free trip around the sun every year. How long a minute is depends on what side of the bathroom door you're on. Birthdays are good for you. The more you have, the longer you live, and happiness comes through doors you don't even know you left open. And so those are just a few, and I'll be sharing more of Jessica's positive-isms with you as days go by. But I really like the last one. Happiness comes through doors you don't even know you left open. It is so good when you think of life that way. You don't know where your good is going to come from many, many times. And your frame of mind has such a significant impact on your response patternings. Have you ever encountered someone in your life that you make a remark about something and the next thing you know, coming out of their mouth is, you know, you're not achieving this, you're not doing that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all of these negative response patternings. You don't even have a chance to blink. And out of their mouth comes all of this stuff about why maybe they feel you're a failure, you're not making enough money, something comes out. And you know, at that moment, you have to assert control over who you are. You have to say, all right, you're entitled to your opinion. That's great. And move on. Don't even engage in conversation with these people. Because by the time they get through telling you about how much you're doing wrong or how valueless what you're doing is, or how you're not the multimillionaire you should be, or whatever other thing they're deciding to dish out in their moment of extreme insight as they're perceiving it, you have the right and privilege to just bump it out. You don't have to buy into any of it. And that means you have dominion over how you respond to something. And it can really knock the wind out of you for a minute. But you know, the mind has to constantly been primed. It has to constantly be in a state of preparation, of understanding that you're going to have people like this in your life. So instead of getting angry with them and getting into an argument, put yourself in a state of mind where you are where you want to be. And remember, sometimes when you least expect it, something good comes through a door you didn't even know you left open. There's an old saying that has gone around so many times, and I've heard it so many times in my life, and it's a very good one. It's one, don't burn bridges. Has anybody ever said that to you? Well, it's something that is so valuable because if you're not careful, let's say you're in a job situation and maybe it doesn't work out and you're all upset and you leave, you quit, you go on to what you feel is a better environment. Well, that's good because you're upgrading yourself. However, don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to burn your bridges, where you're going to make enemies in an environment that you've previously been in. Remember always, you want to be the architect and designer of how you see yourself in life. And just like you wouldn't want someone turning on you and being really nasty and negative and bitter and vindictive, why would you want to do that yourself? So the old adage, don't burn bridges, is very important. And remember, you carry you no matter who you are or where you are all of the time. You're the only one that's living inside your skin 24 hours a day. So you need to remember to conduct yourself in the right way, in the right manner, so that you know that if ever you should cross paths with someone else again, you're not going to have a difficult time. You don't know when you might cross the path of a person that you had worked with previously. And if you treated them nastily, there may be a door slammed in your face that otherwise might be kept open. So just be wise, use good sense, and remember, happiness comes through doors you don't even know you left open. And also the other one I'll put on as a tag is don't burn bridges. It doesn't pay. It causes so many more problems than you could ever imagine. The world is a really small place. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to chat with you and give you some intuitive insight. 877 is our toll-free number, 877-876-5227. Does your pet have a sixth sense? I came across this story, and I just loved it because there is so much research that's going on with animals. Dogs are being trained to be able to smell cancer. They are being trained to work with people that maybe have seizures so that they can let that person know when the seizure is coming so that they'll stay still and quiet. And I have had so much information cross my desk over the past 5 years, and I've also seen programs regarding this. And when I came across this story, I thought, I've got to share this with you because it's so wonderfully, wonderfully insightful. Animals do have that sixth sense. They have a sensory system that I think is 10,000 times stronger than our own. And when you have a good rapport with a pet, many times they're going to make you aware and alert to things that you otherwise wouldn't pay attention to because their sensory system, their intuitive system, if you will, is working at a much higher frequency than ours, and they try to communicate with us in the only way that they know how. And in this case, it was with some meows from a cat. This is from a woman who is just so affected by this herself. Her name is Corey Jones. And when I came across this story, I thought I would share it with you. She had two cats. One cat's name was Baloo, and the other one was Henry. Now, Baloo was very aggressive and outgoing and very much a people person and just loved visitors and, as I said, just very gregarious and outgoing. And Henry, the other one, was what she called the slow cat. Henry just didn't seem to get up and have all that enthusiasm. However, it was Henry that actually saved her life. Now, what happened was Corey was staying with her husband at a cabin that they owned by a lake in New Hampshire. And she was sitting in the yard reading one of the afternoons when they were there. Beautiful weather, absolutely gorgeous. And she heard Henry, and she said he had what she called a chirping sound that he would make. And she looked up, and she saw him in their bathroom window, and he was looking right at her, and she couldn't get over this. You know, what's the matter with Henry? Well, she found it extremely odd that he was behaving like this because, one, he never sat in that window, and rarely was he ever awake during the time of day that this was happening. And he kept calling to her. Well, she responded to him by saying, "Hi, Henry," but he kept crying over and over and over again. Now, she began to notice something with herself. She said her right arm and her leg were just a little bit numb, and she decided she was going to go swimming, and she went into the lake, and the water just revved up her body, and she was really feeling very, very good. However, her cat, Henry, was still acting very strangely, kept calling to her, and she couldn't understand what it was. Finally, she went in and kept him company, and that was fine. But there was something wrong, something very, very wrong. And Henry knew it, and he was trying to communicate with her. And she was in a dilemma. She couldn't really understand what he was trying to get across to her. Well, that night, when she went to bed, he was sleeping on the pillow next to the left side of her head. And she said usually he'd sleep stretched out by her side. But this was a very, very special situation. And we're going to be going on a break in just a moment. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Henry, and I'm going to tell you what happened between Henry and Corey and how it saved her life. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be going to a break in just a few seconds here. I want you to know our toll-free number, if you want to call in during the show, is 877-876-5227. This is bbsradio.com, and also know that our shows are archived. We're going to be coming back in just a few seconds, but give me a call if you'd like to chat at that telephone number, 877-876-5227. Stay tuned. We're going to hear about Henry the Cat and Corey and how he saved her life. Don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Siebel. I wanted to give out our number again, 877-876-5227. And just to remind you, the Donna Siebel Show is on in the mornings and now. Obviously, if you're listening to it, you know that. But if your friends have been listening to the afternoon show, just let them know that we've changed over to 11 a.m. in the morning. And no matter where you are in the world, you're going to be able to hear the show and also participate in it if you so desire by calling 877-876-5227. Now, let me finish this story about Henry and Corey. Now, Henry, as I told you, had been letting Corey know that he was very concerned about something. She didn't understand what his messaging was, but this particular night, while she was staying at the cabin by this lake area that she and her husband enjoyed so very much, he stretched out on the left side of her head. He stayed there. And Baloo, usually her other cat, would drape himself over her ankles. And I've got a picture of Henry in front of me, and he is absolutely gorgeous. He looks like a calico tabby, and he has the most wonderful green eyes and just the cutest pink nose. But anyway, during that night, and this was very, very serious stuff, she woke up during the night more than once. She felt nauseated, dizzy, and disoriented. And by morning, the numbness that she had experienced the previous day in her arm and her leg, she had come back again. In fact, when she stood up, when she got out of bed, she fell. Now, at this time, when this happened, Henry was wailing. That's how she described it. He was wailing. It was shrill, nonstop, and finally, she figured out what he was telling her. Something was very wrong, and she needed help. So she called 911, and she was taken into the emergency room, and the doctors told her husband what Henry had sensed the day before. During the 24 hours previous to this fall, she had had a stroke, and there was a clotting disorder that lay at the root of the condition she was experiencing, and the doctors were really surprised by her story and very moved by it regarding Henry's warning. She said, "I think Henry saved my life." Now, that was over a year ago, and she said as a stroke victim, she's been very lucky. She's able to talk normally. She's writing again. She still gets fatigued, but she said it gives her a good excuse to take a nap with her cats. And she often will turn to Henry and ask him, "How did you know?" And every time she talks to him, he just has this special purr that he gives her. And that's all she's able to get. She doesn't know how to speak or understand cat. She said, but when she looks into his eyes, she said there's a difference that usually is there that just totally fades away. And she said, no longer are we just a cat and a woman, but simply two creatures who do anything for each other that we possibly could do. And I wanted to just add something to this. If you have a member of your family, if you know of anyone that experiences seizures or needs to have some kind of support care, check out some of these various organizations that train animals. They have had monkeys that they've trained to assist people if they've been handicapped. They have had dogs. I don't know that they've done very much with cats. But the dogs that are trained are absolutely incredible. And I've had the privilege of interacting with some people who have had support dogs. And they work with them as they're going through the training. And it's a wonderful, wonderful benefit to people that otherwise might feel their lives are very empty. They sometimes feel like they can't do very much. But the animals are trained. And dogs, they're finding. All different types of breeds have such a high level of sensitivity and smell that for those people that have cancer, they're able to detect it. For situations, again, with seizures, they're able to determine when they're coming on. So the people that they work with, they learn how to understand the dog's movements and recognize when maybe they need to be still and be quiet. It really makes a difference in people's lives. And animals, I think, in so many ways, bring us so many blessings. And when we can understand that and when we can pass along the information. You know, Lisa, the vet that I had on, not the vet, but the naturopath that I had on this morning, she has been involved with animals for so long, and that's so important. We need to realize that they have their own way of communicating. They have their own way of getting across to us what they need. And from personal experience that I've had with my own pets, it really takes a whole different level of understanding and thinking. It can really change your life. Well, I know we're running out of time here, but I wanted to share a couple of things with you. If you enjoy gems, if you enjoy stones, well, there's some of them that have particular meaning. And I thought, well, often we get concerned about certain things, so being aware of stones, their meaning, and a little bit of their energy might put some things to rest for you. If you want to feel less stressed at work, there's a wonderful stone called fluorite, F-L-U-O-R-I-T-E, and this is a crystallized type of stone. It contains, apparently, a wonderful component that aids concentration and problem solving, and it comes in all kinds of colors. The blue color provides energy, the purple inspiration, and the yellow helps you to get along with co-workers. It also comes in other shades. But that's just a little bit of information on that. What if you like clear quartz? Oh, I've seen some of the most gorgeous clear quartz formations. Now, if you want to make your dreams come true, this is something you want in your environment because when the sun hits it, you'll see all the colors of the rainbow, which represent all the possibilities in the world. Now, Jeff Brown, he's a gem advisor. He said, if you think about what you want, and the crystal then will amplify your desires, which helps you attain your goals. Well, those are just a couple of stones that I thought I would share some information with you about. They are not only beautiful to look at, but they are beautiful to wear or to have in your environment. And it's so much fun to learn about them. So many different cultures have different understandings and applications with stones. For example, the turquoise. Not only did the Native Americans value them, the turquoise, highly, but also Tibetans value turquoise very, very highly. And it's just something that is very tranquilizing. They say it represents the sky, and the brown veins in it represent the earth, which make you feel secure, and it's been used for centuries as a good luck charm to protect the wearer from accidents. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We've had another dynamic hour, and I'm so glad you were able to join me. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about colorectal cancer, and we are going to be talking with Dr. Brooks. So I hope you'll tell your friends and tune in. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care of yourself, and don't be afraid to learn new things. It's wonderful when you become aware of the greatness that life has to offer, and the only way that can happen is when you step up, step out, and step in to learning. This is Donna Sebo. Have a magnificent day. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.